G-1. Central Plaza, New Birchwood, New Kerguelen. With far more of a spring in their step than last time, but with some degree of natural hesitancy about what lay ahead, Dan McCarthy and Tara Ford followed Leisha out of New Kerguelen's landing site before the alien flash teleported them back to the Central Plaza in New Birchwood. A crowd was gathered once again, if anything even larger than the last, in keen anticipation of the moment of truth. The trio's arrival was greeted with the now familiar but still very odd sight of thousands upon thousands of intelligent extraterrestrials waving their arms in the air.
"I know what it's like," Tara said. "You know those waving things with faces that have air running through them at car showrooms and places like that?"
As soon as she made the connection, Dan couldn't unsee it. "But I guess we look like sea lions when we do our version of applause," he laughed. The mood of the crowd could hardly have changed more. Now, quite clearly, Dan and Tara were once more being seen as heroes for their willingness to prove the safety of the gate. Even the squadron leaders who had forced the choice upon them were now applauding, with one openly sending a thought to share how impressed he was that Dan had lived up to his word of coming back. Dan would shake hands with these commanders in public if it had to be done to signal unity, but he certainly didn't want to. He longed for the moment of his intrepid group's return crossing back to New Kerguelen, when Leisha would receive the accolades for braving the journey and would take what Dan saw as his rightful and just position as the planet's leader. That Leisha immediately offered to share his premiership with Sacco as soon as the topic had been mentioned spoke well of him, the humans considered, and to why he would make such a perfect candidate.
"I'll get Billy,"
Leisha then said, excusing himself in a flash and returning momentarily with both Earth's finest archaeologist and New Kerguelen's planetary historian. Boone turned immediately to Melly, who was standing quietly in her emerald green tunic.
"The child?"
he asked, beating Billy to the punch. In reply, Melly gave her newly learned smile another airing.
"Like no other," she said, "and perfectly healthy."
Before asking what Boone and Billy had found, Dan took a moment to appreciate the fact that these aliens, with no reason to care about Piper beyond their sheer decency and perhaps their affection for Dan and Tara, were so concerned about an infant of another species while the future of their own home world and its entire population was balanced on a knife edge. When Dan did get round to asking, Billy told him that Boone had read several more pieces of illuminating writing for his benefit, but that none were immediately relevant to the gate-crossing mission and would all still be there for analysis when the group got back. He went on to explain that while none of them were of any real concern, they could serve to complicate Dan and Tara's thoughts at the wrong time, a point with which both agreed full-heartedly. While curious about everything on New Kerguelen, as anyone would be, neither of them quite shared Billy's all-consuming quest for even small discoveries, and to his credit, the archaeologist both recognized and respected this difference. Billy then reconsidered and shared what he saw as the two most interesting notes from his recent time with Boone. First, he reluctantly revealed that there were unfortunately no evident physical or digital records of old transcripts within the machines, which would have provided a tremendous insight into the architect's deceptive practices. "But," he went on, "once we get back, I'm allowed to take one of the machines home to Fiori Frontieri. It's good news that this gateway isn't a link to the architects, but if all of the machines are destroyed, as they would be unless I take one, we would never have a chance of reverse engineering the technology."
"Or being reached by the architects,"
Tara said, not liking this idea one bit. Both turned to Dan. He hesitated. "Tara, it's kind of like what we told the squadron about the gate. If the architects wanted to reach us, they don't need those machines to do it. It's almost that whole closing our eyes to hope it makes us invisible thing. If no one has a good specific reason not to allow it, I think we should seriously think about studying those radio-like machines, even if only to analyze how the general technology works. Because if the messengers are going to destroy them..."
"We are,"
Leisha said flatly, and to Dan's mind, understandably. "Right," he went on. "It's just one of those only chance things, but we're not taking anything today. We would need to talk to Emma, Timo, Godfrey, Godfrey? Billy asked. Really? Dan nodded. He's with us, and he sees things we don't. With this later course of action more or less agreed, and altogether less pressing than the immediate matter which concerned the thousands of aliens currently watching the humans converse amongst themselves, Boone spoke up.
So how does this work?
He asked, turning to Leisha.
You're flying uncloaked in one of the gate-passing motherships?
Leisha nodded, slowly up and slowly down.
Dan, do you want to address the crowd briefly?
He asked.
I will remain silent for now. My words will come on our return, and they will be strong.
Pleased by the intensity he saw in the eyes of his friend Leisha, New Kerguelen's true leader-in-waiting, Dan stepped into the same exact spot from which he had spoken earlier. This movement brought an immediate and anticipatory hush throughout the enormous crowd. I said it was safe, Dan boomed, almost at the level of a shout once more. And now we're going to prove it. When we get back, all I ask is that you remember which of your senior figures carried us across this gate. Leisha. I would say we'll see you on the other side, but I'll see you when we get back from the other side. To peace, to sense, and to Leisha. Rapturous applause followed.
Okay,
Leisha said. Dan winked at Melly and then Boone, correctly sensing he would have no time to say much before Leisha flashed him back to New Kerguelen's landing site with Tara and Billy in preparation for their departure. After the flash took them there, the silent and vacant surroundings led to an increase in contemplation.
Do not overthink anything, Leisha encouraged his friends, leading them to the cylindrical elevator that carried them into the enormous waiting craft.
The pod-like enclosures which enabled humans to safely cross the gate between Earth and New Kerguelen were already in place. Oh yeah, Billy sighed. That didn't even click. Everyone out there in the plaza is going to know before we do how this plays out. Leisha, will the next thing we see be the landing site, or will you wake us to look down at Sanctuary through the windows once we pass the gate?
Wake us, obviously, Tara said. I mean, if we're going, we're seeing. Right?
Dan grinned. Absolutely.
I'll wake you,
Leisha reassured Billy, a man whose endless curiosity and quest for new truths and experiences never failed to amuse him. Promise? Billy said, climbing into his pod. Whatever you see out there, you'll wake me?
Promise. And a promise I make is a promise I keep,
the alien replied.
Dan and Tara can attest to that.
They both smiled warmly and got into their own waiting pods. You know, Billy said, sharing one last thought, with all of the writing in the hall, the rest of the cities of New Kerguelen, everything undiscovered at Dortlu Tepe, I never thought I'd say it, but I already have enough to keep me busy. I'm glad I found Boone. Leisha, you got any more like him I could borrow for Earth? The others, especially Leisha, saw the funny side of this. All of the sites Billy mentioned were indeed waiting to be fully explored, as was the basement stash located following a tragic incident which Tara, Dan, and Leisha so definitely wanted to spare Billy from facing just yet that they hadn't even had to discuss their mutual decision to keep quiet.
God willing, we'll explore them all soon, Tara said, and the discoveries will all be things that are so welcome, we can't even imagine them yet.
Here's to that. Dan said, climbing into his pod. This final thought was in the humans' minds as they faded to a very brief sleep, which would end on the other side of the gate, one way or the other. A discovery beyond anything the humans or indeed their alien pilot could ever imagine did indeed lie in wait on the other side of their leap of destiny. But welcome would not be the word in any of their minds when they reached it.